Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Tuesday, the 17th of November. Bit of feedback from yesterday's pod, but I will cover that in next Monday's. These horses are driving me mad. Fortunately, I've had a load of accounts closed. I had three gone this morning. I owned back one horse. So my time with these will be coming to an end because it is now driving me mad. Started out as a favour and it is causing me nothing but annoyance now. I'll do the pod horses first. I've got a recipe for you. I'm going to talk about some horse racing stats. I was going to do football, but a conversation came up yesterday and it led me down a path, so I'm just going to get that out of the way today. And that's that. And we played poker last night. I didn't see you win one, but thank you to the 20-odd who turned up. Good fun. When I got knocked out, I was trading the second half of a match in Spain, which turned out quite eventful. Those of you in Telegram, we had a bit of fun, didn't we? Didn't enter till about 55, 60 minutes and had a red card. Goal disallowed, goal disallowed, goal. And then we did get we only really needed one, but we ended up getting two. So, yeah, it was all a bit eventful in the last half hour, which is unusual for the Segunda. Where were we? Right, pod horses. Okay, again, only two today. No good yesterday. I think they both drifted quite a bit, but only two today. 5:15 Elland Road Boy. These are Newcastle. 5:15 Elland Road Boy. And the 6:45 Continental. So 5:15 Elland Road Boy, 6:45 Continental, both at Newcastle. Been a bit quiet so far this week. Where was I going? Can't even remember. Stats, right, yes, interesting. Somebody posted in the Telegram yesterday about a horse at 1,000 that traded low and sort of all that would have been a scare for whoever laid that. So it just sort of piqued my interest that I thought, how many horses of 1,000 do actually go on and win? So I called up the old database. In the last 3 years, across all codes of racing, so literally since the 1st of January, since 1st of January 2018, there have been 2,489 horses that have gone off at a BSP of 1,000. 2,489. And that's out of nearly quarter of a million horses, 247,377, so pretty much 10% roundabout, have gone off at 1,000 BSP. 2,489 of those have got beat. There hasn't been one single winner in the last 3 years, or coming up the best part, with just December to go in effect. 20 of them have placed for a loss of 917 points. Obviously, the place price is often three figures. Gilbertina was the one yesterday, and it did place. It placed at a price of 180, and after 5p commission, is 170 points on the place. But you would have lost 917 points backing the place for all of them. So I sort of then took that back a little bit deeper and went, right, what happens over 900 and this? And there hasn't been a winner over 700 since 2018, which is 4,002 runners have run over, been a BSP of 700 and more, and 4,002 have run, and 4,002 have got beat. And it's quite interesting. The reason I'm just talking about that is when you talk about mindset and things, I sometimes, I don't look at the back end of horse markets much, and that's the first time I've ever done any sort of in-depth like that and looked at it. But in the Gulf, sometimes my eyes water at some of the prices that people offer and the amount of money they must have to tie up to offer those prices. And often, you know, normal punters, football punters, because we back, you know, at much lower odds, we're, you know, not many of us get involved in much more than 7, 8, 9. A lot of the time it's a lot lower than that. When somebody does say, oh, I'm laying nil-nil at 20-1 or 25-1, it sort of causes uproar. Oh, you can't lay at those prices, you know. But obviously there's people laying these horses, and they must be laying them because for the price to be there. And they're laying them, and they must know that it's on their side to do so. Is it for me? I mean, you know, to win, you'd have to risk £2,000 to win £2. But I suppose if you'd started in 2018 doing that and building up along the way, you'd be sitting with a little pot of money, but it would be it'd be a right test of your nerves every day, wouldn't it? And obviously one or two go wrong and you're back where you were. But 4,000 horses are over the price of 700. But, you know, the sort of reason I looked at it, just interesting the talk, it isn't for me. It isn't, definitely isn't for me. But people do it, and they do it in all sports. Golf, the racing, people are willing to lay these big prices. And I would imagine that the people getting involved in that probably have it down that they know they can lay that and make money. It's interesting. I don't really look and see how much money's been matched at these prices, how much, but nearly always there's a few quid somewhere, so they're just nicking up a little dribble every time. You know, and this isn't in play. I'm not talking about in play 1,000 when a horse falls and somebody's quick and can lay it and get matched up. I'm talking about literally the pre-race. So yes, there's been 4,000 horses. The biggest winner in the last 3 years. The biggest winner, let me just look, I believe, it's quite a big database, nearly 250,000, as I say, so, but I believe it is 600, about 650. Let's just find him. It is... I've sent the database into an absolute tailspin now. Apologies. I have sent that into an absolute... It's struggling to do 247,000 rows of data. I shouldn't have done that. I might not be able to tell you the biggest winner because I think it's just it's gone into its... This Excel sheet is not responding. Doesn't like that at all, but I think the biggest winner is about 650 over the last 3 years. But it's interesting. What's interesting is the people who lay these horses at 1,000 do get it right. You know, they obviously got absolutely no chance. It's no luck, but you've got 2,000 odd that have not won, 4,000 over 700 that haven't won, that people do know they have got pretty much no chance. The laying at those prices isn't anything other than, as I say, it's a mindset thing. Do you want to get involved at those prices? Not for me, thank you very much. But yes, so just some interesting stats on big prices and the mindset approach to it. Just again, triggered by the guys talking about it yesterday in the Telegram chat. Right. That's enough of that, because my sheet's broken. If it comes back, then I'll get back to it. But I don't want to sit here leaving you hanging. So we're going to make some. This is one of my favourite meals. We're going to make beef stroganoff. I'm going to give you a very quick, easy, simple beef stroganoff recipe. Absolutely beautiful. One of the key things here is to use decent beef. I see people make this and they buy crappy, shite beef. But if you do buy, if you are only going to buy braising steak or buy that, then get it and give it a bang with a mallet. Try and buy it in one piece, not chopped. Buy it in one piece, get a rolling pin and tenderise it, or get a tenderising hammer. You want it, only need it, literally, about less than a centimetre thick, about 3/4 centimetre thick, so you can give it a whack and get it flattened down. But if you can... afford it, then buy some decent, you want some marbling in it, some sirloin, ribeye even, with some marbling in it. Again, get it on a work surface, give it a bit of cling film over the top, and just give it, tap it down with a rolling pin, flatten it down to that sort of just under a centimetre thick. That's all you need. So decent beef if you can, with some marbling. You need some fat in it. You know, a lot of people buy all the beef, try and cut every bit of fat. It's what gives it the flavour. So get that and get it there. Then season your meat. And we're not gonna cut it up yet. We don't cut it up until after we've seared it. Again, people cut it up and trying to sear it in one piece. So get a really season it with salt and pepper. Then try and leave the meat as well to get to room temperature. Not straight out the fridge. Leave it for a little while to get to room temperature. Then get a frying pan skillet, super hot, really hot. Not again, drives me mad when Sam does it. She boils it because she never gets the pan hot enough. Get it super hot, get the meat in there, literally 30 seconds. That's it, really hot pan, 30 seconds, and then spin it over another 30 seconds and take it straight out the plate. Don't worry if it's a bit raw, a bit pink in place, you've missed bits. 30 seconds either side onto a plate. That's it, so that your beef's done. Leave that to the side, and then we're going to get on to making the sauce. So turn the heat pan, use the same pan, but turn the heat down to medium. Just give it a couple of minutes, maybe take the pan off, let it cool a fraction, then put it on a medium heat. So if you gas, just turn it down slightly, or I don't know how rings work or those other things. We gas, find you can control the temperature better. Good knob of butter in the pan, and slice up one large onion. Get that sliced up, get that in the pan, and mix that around until it's a nice caramelized golden color. And scrape the pan as you go, get all the bits of the beef that might have stuck to the pan and all the bits of the onion. Then mushrooms, about 300 grams of mushrooms. I just buy one of those punnets. I like chestnut mushrooms. Slice them up, not too thin. Get those in with your onions, so that they're, so that, again, scraping it, get them cooking, and then add a tablespoon of flour. Get a tablespoon of plain flour and stir that for a minute. 500 ml of good beef broth. Again, I use the stock pots. I use the rich beef one for this, so Knorr stock pots, the rich beef one, 500 ml, and pour that in over your onions and your mushrooms. Add in a tablespoon of Dijon mustard and add in about 150 ml of sour cream, and stir that in. Sometimes when you add sour cream, it looks like it's splitting, but it's not. It's the sour cream melting. So just get the sour cream mustard, stir it, bring it to a simmer, turn the heat down low and let it just simmer for 3, 4, 5 minutes, and it'll get to a sort of pouring cream consistency. Add your salt and pepper, and then get your beef. Slice your beef now up into sort of maximum centimeter pieces, slices, and put that back in the pan, including the juices that have come off the plate from the heating of it, and cook that for another couple of minutes, and that'll just get rid of that pink bits on the beef. It won't be overcooked and chewy and horrible, and some people cook it for too long, and then remove it from the stove straight away, get it straight off the heat, leave that, and then serve that over some, you know, either serve it over pasta, some linguine, tagliatelle, like that, or with noodles. I prefer pasta, and serve it on top of that and some chopped chives on the top just to make it look pretty. There you go. It is an absolutely cracking dish. It's one of my favourites. Absolutely love it. But the key is using good beef and that searing. Really hot pan. The making of the sauce is really simple. Really is an easy thing to make. Onions, mushrooms, you know, a bit of sour cream and some stock. Cook it all up. Mix it with some mustard. Job done. There you go. Right, I have genuinely broken my Excel. It has gone absolutely pear-shaped. I'm going to have to do the old task manager and force quit. It's not having it. It doesn't like it at all. I wanted to tell you what that biggest winner was, but I managed to somehow break everything in the last 15-20 minutes. I know some of you are getting the ump with me because I haven't got back to you or added you to the Telegram group or whatever. I am genuinely working through stuff. I should never have done these horses. It's been an absolute full-time job. So I just need to sit and do them. I've lost accounts this morning backing a horse. So I'm going to speak to the guy tonight and sort of say that's pretty much me done now. 612 is the biggest price. There you go, we got there. Shut it down, open the sheet. So the biggest winner in the last 3 years is 612. So, you know, there's actually only been two winners over 500. So I don't know how many horses I've looked. There's three winners over 500. 512, 538, 612. So everything else that's run that's been priced at a BSP of over 500 has got beat. Over the last 3 years, odds, number filters. I see, well, this is what you do. I like just playing with this stuff and having a look at it. Then there's been 5,868 runners over 500. If you had been offering that price, you would, if you'd been backing that price, you would have lost 4,287 points. So the layers, obviously, if they could lay at those prices, would be doing well. Obviously, the 1,000 is accurate, but yeah, who wants to get involved in that? But just shows you more than there's always more than one way to skin a cat, despite what other people tell you. Right, that's it, team. I'm out of here. Yeah, I was saying, I don't know, well, I did finish it waffling, aren't I? Waffling, absolute garbage. Those who I've got to get back to, I'm making my utmost effort. I'm doing these horses today. I've got Zooms this evening. I'm hoping then that I can sit tomorrow and catch everything up to speed. I want to get it all done by Thursday before we get to the weekend and the football starting up again. But this I thought this would just be putting a few bets on in the morning. It's actually become a full-time job, and how they do it, how any of you deal with bookmakers, it just drives me. It's driving me absolutely mad. I'm getting so angry about it. And it's not my money, but just you have a bet £100 at 2-1, then they email you and say that account, you can't have any more bets. It's nonsense. Absolutely scandalous. Anyway, have a lovely Tuesday, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.